so much for having us here. The space is so beautiful. And when we initially conceptualized this project, I mean, this just, there couldn't be a more perfect space for this to be in. It's such an honor to be here. We're really large numbers, and we also both have solo practices. I live in Eugene, Oregon, and Chad lives in Brooklyn, New York, so we're working from a great distance, and a lot of the sort of work process is emails and Skypes and researching and exchanging ideas. And both of us work with ideas that are at the edge of science and looking at science as metaphor and looking at the sort of emotional complexity of science and the way that science can become subjective in the right person's hands. So just to sort of talk about us as individuals for a moment, a couple of my recent projects, for example, I've been looking a lot at ecology, and I recently made a documentary about the stray dogs that live in the Chernobyl exclusion zone. I was there for a week this past spring filming the dogs that live there, and right now I'm looking at some of the weird urban wilderness spaces in the northeast of Queens, New York, and gathering images there. I work mostly in video and animation. And so I'm really on the computer a lot. I'm drawing a lot. And Chad's work is very different than mine.
So basically, I mean, I tend to work more sculpturally and like three-dimensionally than Julia, and like coming at like less of a understanding of science in the way that I think Julia has more of a background in science and relationship to that, like in a way that I'm more just sort of fascinated by the ideas that come up within in that sort of realm. And so my work tends to be like I have a project going on that is called Lonely's Voyages, which is about all these man-made objects that are like the furthest man-made objects away from Earth, and this sort of like humanizing of these machines that are out there exploring the universe for us and sort of like sending back data, and that we are like sort of connected to in that way. Sorry, I keep hearing all these like bursts of people moving through that. So it sort of turns into this kind of like realization of these things for me, like in a sort of object kind of format and that sort of thing.
We have a very different set of skills. I can't think in three dimensions at all, and I don't know how to build anything. But I am very focused on working in time-based work, working time-based in terms of telling a story in a video or animated kind of way, and a lot of my inspiration comes from, well, really, a lot of the formative works that have led to me as a grown-up artist were animated, were cartoons that I watched as a child, and especially one that comes up for me all the time is the animated version of Watership Down that was made in, oh gosh, I guess it was the 70s. And I mean, I love the book too, but the animated version of Watership Down is, it's terrifying and beautiful and really disturbing. And it has this sort of, there's this sense of realism. It's environmentalist. It's about animals as, it's about their minds. It's about respecting nature. Those are all things that are really, really important to me. And Chad is able to think in totally different, wonderful ways. We met in a show in 2010 called Science Fair in Brooklyn. In Long Island City in Queens, at a place called Flux Factory that was all artists working at this intersection of art and science. And we really sort of connected to each other in terms of the works that we were making. Yeah. And over the next years, we stayed in touch and began to sort of build on some ideas, some collaborative ideas.
Yeah.
And we've been working together for nearly 7 years now and have worked on a wide variety of projects. And what you see here is Birth of a Star. This is our visualization of the different moments in the life of a celestial star, starting with the baby star, protostar. And you guys are have probably heard all of these terms and are familiar with them to some degree. There's protostar, red giant, supernova, and black hole. Every star starts as a protostar. Every star begins as a baby. And every star starts with this spinning of gas matter and this sort of sucking in of a combination of gases and interstellar dust, and this growth of gaseous and some solid matter that will eventually turn into a star of a variety of sizes. And over time, that will turn into a main sequence star, which is what our sun is. But depending on how big that star gets, it can go in a bunch of different directions, which could be a red giant or a supernova or a black hole. And we wanted to turn these, I mean, they're kind of mind-bending ideas, these astrophysical ideas of what, of how a star progresses, how it lives, and how it dies. And we wanted to visualize these ideas in a way that is
relatable to our scale and our sense of time.
Yeah.
These are things that happen like on expanses of time that like we could never comprehend. We would never exist long enough, I mean, not even close to long enough to see any of these things happening. And the scale of these things happening is just like totally incomprehensible. And so it's sort of about drawing it down into this, like, I mean, there's a lot of stuff in science that they often draw on metaphor to, like, so that we can relate to it as people, like, these very expansive ideas, like, how do we understand it? Well, we understand it by someone telling us, like, it's like this, you know, it's like going grocery shopping, you know, whatever. It's like they try to bring it down to this mundane experience. And so we were trying to, like, draw these sort of, like, gigantic celestial events into this sort of sculpture or moment that we can sort of, like, relate to as us, as humans, and that sort of thing, in a way that would be otherwise completely impossible. And like, using materials that are, like, very raw materials, but also very accessible materials, and, like,
and not playful materials.
Playful materials, yeah.
All of our work is playful and funny.
Funny.
Humor is a really important part of really large numbers.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah.
And so, like, there's elements of sort of a comic book explosion, for example.
Yeah.
And we're both really invested in the idea of accessibility, of art being accessible and having a lot of different entry points, no matter how weird the concept, the starting concept is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and just, you know, sorry, I lost my train of thought. But yeah, just to sort of like pull from like everyday materials and bring it into this space that is like fun and interesting, but also like it's about like science from like a, well, I don't know, we talk about science a lot, but we also talk about it in a like from this aspect of like the emotional side of things and like things coming into it from that, and like how one you know, sort of like feels, I don't know, sort of about these different,
well, so like your project of the the satellites, we think about like the Mars rovers. I feel a very strong emotional connection to a lot of our satellites and our explorers in space. And I spoke to a physicist a few years ago who had been working at the Particle Collider at Fermilab. She's a particle physicist, and she had been working extensively at the Fermilab Collider. And then when the Fermilab Collider was decommissioned, she cried because it was a collaborator for her, even though it was not, you know, it was a person, it was a machine. And there are a lot of feelings in science, and there's even crying in it. And that's not often acknowledged, I think, especially in the sort of the way that science is presented to the world, that science contains a lot of, you know, strong feelings and a lot of relatability and some subjectivity. Just careful. You have to be careful with subjectivity in science.
But that's like the beauty of the artist side of things.
Yes.
Like we can be as
We're
subjective
allowed.
As we want to be.
We're allowed to be subjective with science as artists, yeah.
And I think that's the best part for me, is to be able to like grasp onto that subjectivity and like explore that end of things.
I think just one thing that I wanted to mention was when you were talking about the sort of hugeness of some of these ideas. I was in a sort of panic mode earlier today. My dad is a physicist, and we went over some of the star moments earlier today as I was thinking, like, what if someone asked this question? What if someone asked this question? And one of the amazing facts that we came upon, or theories that we came upon, was this idea that a white dwarf, which is what is left behind from this red giant, the little core left as the red giant outsides float away, which is the white dwarf is it's mostly electrons floating around, and then protons and neutrons stuck together. So it's atoms that are just broken into pieces. And it's very dense, and it's pretty small. And the idea is that over time, this white dwarf, which is very hot, will cool into a cold black dwarf over time. But the process of it cooling into a cold black dwarf would take more time than has been the lifespan of the universe so far. And so none exist yet. So just this unbelievable expanse of time, and this weird, it's all math right now, this wild, unbelievable hugeness of ideas is something that we're really interested in trying to turn that into something visual.
Yeah.
So
I think. Great. Thank you. Any questions? I like being sort of watching TV or warming myself as these things started to heat up. I'm really in love with that TV set/fireplace.
I know, it really is like that.
And I'm picturing you in, you know, looking at concrete tubes and going, oh, that's a perfect black hole. Meant to be. Yeah.
I mean, all of the elements of each of these sculptures are, like, just pulled from, like, the, you know, from the Home Depot shelves.
Like industrial, you
know,
carpentry materials, yeah.
And amazing, like, these sonotubes are, like, that's what makes concrete pillars that build our buildings. And they come like four times that size. That's like kind of a small one. That's what it's like, you know, so.
When we were moving this into our truck and from New York down into the city, it was just really funny, kind of like, here we are, bringing this huge, crazy tube across streets in Brooklyn. Like, hurry up, hurry up, as trucks are bearing down on us.
Yeah.
And Chad had to crawl inside that thing to paint it. It should have been me. I'm littler.
I've been in the black hole.
That's That explains a lot.
So there's a kind of cartoony aesthetic to the video projections. It also feels kind of retro. Is that something that you...
That, you know, it's funny. That happened, and it wasn't necessarily something that we had gone into this project thinking was going to be part of it, but it really did become very retro and
very
sort of
pop-arty,
kind of comic booky sort of, yeah, and I think, and brighter in color than we had originally thought. So that sort of happened, it happened slowly along the way, and as we were putting things together, I was sort of tweaking my animations, Chad was tweaking some of the materials to, like, keep playing off of the bright, cartoonish quality, and we ended up with the work as it is. And so that kind of, it happened very organically, but it felt good and right.
There is something very comic booky about all of these sort of outcomes of this star. And it is, like, we present it almost as a progression, but it isn't necessarily a progression.
It's not a progression,
as
no.
Said, it is, like, different stages of
it's different possibilities.
Yeah, based on, like, the mass of the star and these sort of things. But, you know, and again, that's the sort of, like, we're not trying to just depict science either. We're just trying to make a relatable sort of way to access these things.
That was science was the starting point.
Yeah, starting point and appreciate them and sort of give them another sort of life outside of this sort of like very static, you know, very like sort of structured, rigid idea of what they are.
We have the luxury as artists of translating and being subjective and not getting in trouble for it the way that a scientist would.
Right.
Are there scientists in the room?
My father right here, Niall. And probably, I don't know, maybe there's some others. But my dad.
Astronomers. Well, it worked on me because I went right home and I was like, I gotta look up protostar.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. I have to figure out, you know, and then I realized how enormous and huge and out of touch my brain was with such gigantic amounts of time, such energies that are just beyond mine. And of course, my math is completely shot. So I can't model anything.
Well, that level of math is also not normal.
Right.
Like, nobody has that level of math unless they've got some sort of very specialized PhD, you know? And it's really... But I love that idea of the rabbit hole of that art can create for something like this little bit of science. Like, oh, supernova.
Yeah, supernova.
Check that out. Let's go to Wikipedia.
Yeah. Bursting out of the circus tent or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much
Thanks.
For making the trip down.
Thanks, everybody.